This Monday is Tainis Esther. I want to discuss... What? Yes, yes. We will have Shir on Monday. We will have Shir on Monday and on...
Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yes, Shushan Purim. We have Shir. Yes, on Wednesday. Shushan Purim, yes. Yes, we will have Shir Mirza Hashem on Wednesday. Wednesday morning, Shushan Purim.
No
talking,
come on time.
I don't expect anyone here to be intoxicated, have a hangover, can't come to the shir.
No talking, come on time.
10 seconds earlier on Shushan Purim. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, Tainis Esther. Let's talk about Tainis Esther. Tainis Esther is in the Chustaris we have the day before Purim. And the question is why... Why do we fast on Tainis Esther? This is one of the very big mysteries. We gave a shiur on this. Every year we talk about this. Why do we fast on Tainis Esther? So the simple reason we fast is a zecher for the fast. V'tsumu olai al toichlu v'al tishtu shloishes yomim laila v'yoyim gamani v'narosai otsum kein. Okay? We fast 3 days. That Esther fasts for how many days? 3 days. He cites here in this wonderful sefer by Tezner and Shari Yimei HaPurim, he cites source that it used to be back in the day, time immemorial, they indeed fasted 3 days in Chodesh Adar, Monday, Thursday, Monday, after Purim. You cannot fast in Chodesh Nisan. When did they really fast for real? They fast for real on Pesach. There's a discussion, was it the 14th, 15th, and 16th? Was it 13th, 14th, 15th? There's no question that they did not eat the Sidarim. That is a given. They canceled the Pesach Seder. They fasted for 3 days.
Must have had two Sidarim. If you had in the Targum Sheni, talked about 2 days Shavuos, maybe they also had two Sidarim.
Yeah, but that wasn't the year. That was
so
the year
then
before.
It would mean it was the 15th and 16th. 14th, 15th, 16th, let's
say. Right, right. They had two Sidarim, Chutz Yards.
Right.
Okay, but there is no question that they definitely, Chazal say they did not have a Pesach Seder. And the question really is, why not? The Pashto says that when they fasted during the day and they ate at night. It's not possible to fast 3 days nonstop, 72 hours nonstop. It's not possible. When Chazal said, we have a minhag, it's Shulchan Aruch, it says he's supposed to fast on the 8th, 9th, and 10th day of Teves. Asar b'Teves.
It's possible to fast three. I mean, I fasted two. It was a stupid bet. I was 15.
Well, you're staker Yom Yom Kippur?
We had people watching us after Tisha B'Av. I could fast longer than you. So we had guys watching us in camp. I lost 12 pounds.
12 pounds.
Yeah. Let's not waste time. Okay. All right. It's very difficult to accept. We know in Shulchan Aruch it says that you fast the 8th, the 9th, the 10th day of Teves. And what does that mean? It means you fast 3 days, but at night you eat. You have a break. You have a break every single night to eat. So are we going to say that in the Megillah when it says V'tsumu olai v'al toichlu v'al tishtu shloishes yomim, it says there laila v'yom. It does say al tichlu shloishes yomim laila v'yom gam ani v'narosai otsum kein. What exactly does that mean? Yeah, it's not so posh what that means to say they fasted continuously 72 hours continuously. What it means exactly? It's not so simple. No break at all. There is such a thing when you fast. You don't necessarily have to fast the whole day. When you fast, you can break it. If you fast and you break your fast, let's say an hour before sunset, that's called a fast. Okay, that's called a me'ikar hadin, that's called a real fast. The halacha that we machmir today, where we fast, we have 45 minutes until after sunset to break the fast. Okay, that's what all the signs and all the shuls say. The fast ends on a regular fast in the Dalet Tzoymos, Shivas Matamos, Rebeteves, Tzom Gedalia. They put up on the sign, the number they're putting up and come out every single shul is 45 minutes after sunset, at least in this neighborhood. That's a pretty big chumrah to wait 45 minutes. When the Ikar HaDin, you can really break the fast probably an hour before sunset. You've already fasted most of the day. You didn't eat in the morning, breakfast, you didn't eat lunch, and now the day is coming to and you have to fast mamish to the end of the day. It's a din in the day. Not mukhrach. Look at the mefarshim. Okay, we live in a very black and white world today. So you fast the day, you fast all the way to the end of the day. So when it says they fasted 3 days, shloish yom laila v'yom, I don't know if anyone says this, but it can be, possibly, I'm just thinking out loud, is that at the end of the day, at sunset, they had a snack. They had a snack. Everyone was given a bowl of cereal, and that's it. You have 5 minutes to eat the bowl of cereal, and that's it the whole night. No dinner. And the morning, no breakfast tomorrow, no nothing. And then the next night, the next day, at sunset, the end of the day, before the night begins, you got, I mean, it's in the middle somewhere. You have a snack for 5 minutes to give you strength to fast another day.
Well, they're able to drink, maybe. They could have had arbacaises in a vitamin.
No, that they did not have. Chazal explicitly said there was no seder. No, because the eating matzah is a meal. That's a whole meal. That was the chiddush of Mordechai. The Sanhedrin, they paskin the halacha that today would never happen. Such a controversial psak, the paskin, the seder is canceled. Wow. Okay, that's quite a psak halacha to cancel the seder. And someone who was done by the Zan. Anyway, okay, let's go further. There used to be that there was such a thing in order to be Mekayim, the meaning of it, Sumo Lai, V'al Teichel, V'al Tishtu, Shloish, Yomim Lai, L'Vayom. There's no question about it. Historically, Tainus Esther was not Erev Purim. Tainus Esther was observed Bahab, Monday, after Purim was over. The end of Chodesh Adar, towards the end of the month, Esther fasted in Chodesh Nisan, Pesach, that time, Pesach. We cannot do that today. Because in Shulchan Aruch it says you're not allowed to fast in Chodesh Nisan. Chodesh Nisan is a Chodesh of Nisan. There is no fasting Chodesh Nisan. So we have no choice but to push it back to another time. When is the appropriate time? The appropriate time is in the end of Adar, Monday. Obviously, that became much, much too difficult for Klal Yisrael. Niskadnu Hadoros, the Chol Shas Adar, 1 day. What's the 1 day? It's not at all clear how this evolved. The 1 day was established in Erev Purim. Normally, we have a principle that we're not Makdim Piranusa. Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos. So what do we do? So why don't we just get it over with? We'll fast on Thursday. We don't want to fast on Friday because of Kvod Shabbos. So why don't we fast on Thursday? Chazal said, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be mocked in Poronos. You only can go forward. Therefore, we fast on Sunday, not on. So why then if we're going to observe this tainus as a remembrance of what happened, why do we put it before Purim? We should have it after Purim. So the answer given is, it's not Paran. It's a very, very important principle. The fact that we fast Erev Purim, and there is a rule, an iron-clad rule, that you're not allowed to be makdim of Paranusa, punishment, has to then be, without question, that Tainus Esther is not a fast day of Paranus. The Dalit Soimais, Som Gedalia, Shavas Batamus, Asar Bateves, and Tisha B'Av are fast days of Paranus. Of Tzorais, the Churban Beis Hamikdash, but Tainus Esther is not a fast day of Paranus of Churban, even though you can argue very powerfully that the whole story of the Megillah revolves around the Beis Hamikdash. The story of the Megillah begins with the fact there was a stop order that the Beis Hamikdash was not going to be built. It was illegal to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And the Megillah ends, and now the stop order has been canceled. You can get back to working on building the Beis HaMikdash. So you can very much learn that the entire story of Purim revolves around the Beis HaMikdash. And then the Tainus obviously would very much relate to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But if that would be correct, 100%, then we would not allow to fast on the day before Purim, because you're not allowed to be makdim Paranus. The Paranus was meant to be Purim on the 14th day. It turned into a Yom Tov. We want to commemorate what Esther did. It's too early. You can't do it before the holiday. The fact that we do it early is an indication that it's not directly connected to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rather, this is the way most of the Mefarshim, including the Ramah, the tightness of Esther is, look at what happened. Klal Yisrael, right, sorry. Klal Yisrael were at an Eis Tzara, a terrible moment in time when they were faced with Churban, and they were mispalel to Hashem. Lech kinois es kol ha-yehudim. And Hashem answered their prayers. Chazal said, this is the message of Purim. It's part of Purim. For every single generation, remember that if you will all come together on a specific day and daven to Hashem, He'll also answer you from and take care of your needs. It's a dogma. That's how the Ramah learns. It's a very, very important point. The tainus of Tainus Esther is not an historical tainus. We're not coming to commemorate what Esther did or the Milchama or anything other than what do you take out of Purim? What's the message of Purim? Purim was a time when there was a tzara and Klal Yisrael came together and they were mispalel to Hashem, Lech kinois es kol ha-yehudim v'tzumu olai. So just like in that generation, the koyach of tzvila and achdus was able to be poyal miracles, in every generation you can repeat the same thing. Whatever your needs are, you can do it once again. So it's not a tzara, it's a lesson. It's a lesson. What is the lesson you take out of Purim? There's no paranus. Everything can be fine and good. But what do we have to remember? The message. Come together and fast and fast. You'll succeed. Hashem will take away all the tzaras. So you can have it before Purim. And Adaraba, it'll get you into the spirit of Purim if you do this.
I was wondering, this man, Shriam was Ezra Hanavi. Ezra Hanavi didn't have to leave us around because a little later.
He was very young, it seems. He wasn't. He's not mentioned in the Megillah. You're right. Where was he? Daniel is alluded to. Vayevo Hasoch. Where was Ezra at this time? I don't know. He was in Koilel. He was hiding out. He was a Bocher. He was observing this miracle. He was like everyone else. He was not a player in this miracle. It seems, yeah, it has to be alive. Because the going to Eretz Yisrael was only 18 years later, and he was 80 years old then. He was 80 years old, even more, 120 years old. How old was when he died? Different version, how old he was when he died? I think they say he was 120 years old.
Who?
Ezra.
Oh, yeah.
Like Moshe Rabbeinu. So if he was, and Nehemiah was the same thing. So obviously they were alive, but they were not obviously in a position of recognition where they were, they had a role in the Megillah, in the story of the Megillah. Okay, so this is the most important, the important lesson of the Megillah. There's a lesson to be taken from the Megillah, and that is what Tainus Esther is all about. Now, others will suggest and argue that the reason why we fast on Erev is the Milchama. In ancient times, when the Jewish people went to war, they fasted when they went to war in order to have a merit that they should succeed in battle. We learn this by Yohanan's son, David, his Milchama, they actually fasted. Today, Yoshua. Today we don't fast, saying the IDF, they will not let any soldier fast. It's a different world today, and it's Chal Shu'adoris. And they even tell them to eat on Yom Kippur when they're out in the battlefield. But in time of Chazal, they fasted. So being that day, Yudal, the day of Purim, was meant to be a day of Churban, Milchama, Klal Yisrael went out to war on Yudal at Adar. And when they went out to war, they fasted. Mm-hmm. We cannot fast on Yudal Ad Adar because Yudal Ad Adar was mahapech to be a day that's a yomtiv. So instead, we fast a day earlier. Okay, then there's one more reason we discussed Rabbi Wallace. I remember we had a whole share on this. Rabbi Wallace told us that the Meranos, is that there are a lot of, that the Tainus Esther, all these explanation that we've given for Tainus Esther do not explain why it's called Esther. If you want to say it's for the Milchama, so what does Esther have to do with this? You want to say it's because the lesson of the Megillah, what's the lesson? So why is it called Esther? Okay, I know you'll tell me, look, the Megillah is called Megillah Esther, so we say Tainus Esther. You want to say the Milchama, it's Tainus Esther. Okay, you are certainly, according to the other interpretation, it's a Zecher for Vitzumu Olai V'Yal Toichlu V'Yal Tishlu Shloishas Yomim. So, it's a zecher for that, so it's going to be called Esther. But there's another mahalach, there's another suggestion given that it's none of the above. We already gave three reasons. It's purely to draw attention and to be mispalel for all of the secret Jews that are persecuted in hiding. Klal Yisrael lived through a very long historical period where Jews had to hide their identity to survive. They had to live The Maranos, okay, the Maranos, the Anusim, what?
It was at least a couple of hundred years.
The Anusim, even going on today, someplace. Anusim, and Maranos is not a nice word. They really more accurately called the Anusim convertos.
Conversos.
These people were forced to convert publicly, but secretly they were shomrei Torah u'mitzvos. And these people suffered quite a bit. Who was the greatest of the Anusim? Esther Hamalka. She's living in the palace as the queen, and she's shomeres Torah u'mitzvos. She observes Torah mitzvah. She eats kosher food. She has a diet of seeds. She has to arrange her maidservants in such a way that none of them should figure out that she's not Mechal Shabbos. She was the spitz. She was the model of a converso. And therefore, the story of Esther was something which many people in our long, difficult history of Galus related to more than anything else. They didn't relate so much to the Maccabees. They didn't relate so much, the biblical Chagim. These were all, Cherus, and Galus, were persecuted, we're hiding, we have to keep a low cover. Who is our hero? Uh-huh. Esther Hamalka. So it's basically a tainus of Galus. It's the tainus of Galus. It has nothing to do with the Milchama on Yudalit, nothing to do with Zecher, Fitzumu Olai, has nothing to do with the lesson. It's Pashut. Then all of the Chagim that we celebrate, the one that the average Jew in Galus relates to, was spoiled rotten in America, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara. We have no concept. It's never been so good. Galus has never been so good, Baruch Hashem, Bli Ayin Hara. But before America, it wasn't like this. We read the books. We could read all the history books. It was serious business. Being in Galus was a big sakana. You kept a low profile in Galus. And the one that Klal Yisrael identified with for 1,500 years, at least, more in their difficult tkufos, is Esther Hamalka. It's the tainus of Galus. Okay, now, I'm sorry. I don't mean anything harmful to you, but we're short on time. We can't talk now. So therefore, Lamaskana, we have four Mahalchim. We presented four Mahalchim for the reason for Tainus Esther. Four different Mahalchim. The Milchama, Esther's fast, Sumu Alai Al Teuchlu V'Al Tishtu, the lesson of Purim. That's what most of the commentators actually say. It's the lesson. And number four, it's the tainus of Galus. We in Galus identify with a person like Esther Hamalka who suffered. She suffered enormously to be taken away from her family, her husband, and to live with a guy, and to hide her Jewish identity. We feel for her, and there are many of us out there that are just like her. And we reflect. It's a way for us to reflect upon the tsaros of Galus. Okay, now, it's being that it's not like all the other fast days, it's not sanctioned by the prophets. The other tsaymos are sanctioned by Zechariah. It's a pasuk. Tsaym ha-chamishi, tsaym ha-revi, tsaym ha-shvi, tsaym ha-asiri. It's a pasuk in Navi. Pasuk in Navi is serious business. So, they're serious fast days. Tainus Esther is a custom. It's not biblical. It's not Yom Kippur. It's not from the Nevi'im. It doesn't say anywhere to fast. It's a minug. It's a minug Yisrael. That has a very important nafkamina to be lenient.
Right.
And any person has any reason need to be lenient, go right ahead. You're allowed to eat. And another very important nafkamina, you don't have to make it up. There's a general rule that if a person has to break his fast because he is not feeling as a cold, today is not a good day for me. It's just not a good day, so I can't observe Shavuos B'Tammuz. Normally I'm Baruch Hashem, I'm strong, but just today is not a good day for me. So I'm going to eat on Shavuos B'Tammuz. Do you have to make it up the next day or the day after? The Pashas is yes, you do. But Tainus Esther, it's a one-shot deal. Even though normally a person is blessed to be healthy and strong, I would ordinarily fast, and for whatever reason, they can't fast that year. The circumstances are such, you do not have to make it up. Okay, that's a major difference between Tainus Est and all of the other Tzaymas. And pretty much, the a lot of lenience to the woman who gave birth, first 3 days, no fasting. That's a given.
Sharet Zion gives the whole thing about Tainus Esther on the
father. The leniencies.
I could see it on this side of the page that it's,
lenient. Much more lenient than other fast days. It's a much more lenient fast day. And okay, so that's basically a woman who is nursing does not have to fast. A woman who is pregnant. There are many, many leniencies, and a person doesn't feel well. Now, what about if a person? A person does have to eat. Just because you're allowed to eat doesn't mean you're allowed to have a gourmet meal on Tainus Esther. A person is only allowed to eat on a fast day the bare minimum of what he needs to eat. He needs to eat a full breakfast, so fine. But if you don't need to eat a full breakfast, so just have a glass of juice, have whatever you need to have, a cup of coffee, not to do anything more than what you absolutely need. Number two, don't eat in public. A person that's allowed to eat on Tainus Esther is general for Tainus. You're not allowed to eat in public. You have to eat in private. It's a zilzul in the fast day in Klal Yisrael to go and just, I don't have to fast today. So I'll sit down, I'll come to the shir, go to a shir and Tainus Esther with a cup of coffee. That's a disgrace. You don't do that. You have to eat because on table. Don't eat in public. Okay, the fast begins Alois HaShachar 72 minutes before sunrise. The halacha is, if a person goes to sleep and does not make a tanai, once you go to sleep, the fast begins. Because the fast really begins at night. That's really the point. The fast really begins at night. Okay, we make all, we start when Alois HaShachar, but if a person goes to sleep and does not make a condition and say, or at least think, that I'm going to get up early tomorrow, 72 minutes before sunrise, and I'm going to eat, then you go to sleep, you go to sleep, where you're not allowed to eat. Are you allowed to drink? Machlokes. Person decides in his mind, I'm going to sleep, I'm done, I'm getting up tomorrow, 7 o'clock, I'm going to daven, 7:30, and I'm done, and then you wake up, let's say, whatever it is, 5 o'clock, I want to eat. Sorry, you can't eat. Since you made a conscious decision that you're starting, you're going to sleep, you did not make the tanai, you're not allowed to eat. But many poskim say you are allowed to drink. Some say not. Let's say you make a tanai, I'm going to eat, because you can eat all you want. But you have to eat only arai, a small amount. If you want to have a real full meal, you have to start a half an hour before 72 minutes. Okay, if you want to wash, or even if you don't want to wash, you want to eat a very significant meal, you're not allowed to eat a significant meal within a half, now to start a significant meal within a half an hour before 72 minutes. You have to start it 73 minutes. So start 31 minutes before 72 minutes. And then you can eat until the very, very last, moment. A person who is not fasting should not get an aliyah. Okay, a person not fasting should not get an aliyah. In order to learn by chal, by mincha, you have to have at least seven people fasting. Seven people have to be fasting in order to learn Vaychal by Mincha. By Mincha, we do not say Avinu Malkeinu, we do not say Tachnun because it's Erev Purim. Okay, Shachrus, we learn Vaychal, and of course, if Monday you say Tachnun, regular davening, Monday, Thursday, you say Slichos, Vidui, and if it's Monday, Thursday, this year it's Monday, you say Vuhurachum, Avinu Malkeinu, full fledged davening that takes place Monday morning, but Mincha is the abridged version. Now, before Mincha, the minhag is to give machzis hashekel. How much is machzis hashekel? So, do we follow today's machzis hashekel, or do we give the amount of money that was the machzis hashekel in the time of the Beis HaMikdash? So, it's machloikis. Now, obviously, the minhag Yisrael is, it's only a minhag to give machzis hashekel. For the money went in the time of the Beis HaMikdash to buy korbanos. We discussed this at a great length. To purchase korbanos. Today it's only a minhag. Therefore, the minhag is to take the coin, the currency that is in circulation, the country that you live in, find a half coin and give that for your machzis hashekel to zecher for the machzis hashekel. And being that it says in the pasuk the word, it says in the pasuk the word teruma three times. So the minhag is to give three of these type of coins. Now, how much value is the coin? So in America, the custom is it's a half dollar. A dollar is a basic amount of money, and there is a coin called a half dollar. So the minhag is to give three half dollars. Now, not everyone agrees to this. In fact, the Gedolim LeEretz-Yisrael, they held that, some held that no, when you give a machzor shekel, you don't take the half coin, the value that exists in your country, but rather you give the equivalent of money, of how much money was given in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we can know what that is, because we know exactly how much a machzor shekel was worth. And in today's dollars, a silver, we know how much a machzor shekel. The Pasuk says, Eshrim Geira HaShekel. A shekel is 20 Geira. A Geira is a barley seed, so that's 10 barley seeds. We practically know what the average size barley seed looks like today, and we can weigh it, and we can make a calculation. We can go online and see what is the value of silver today, and we can come up with a dollar amount exactly, if the Beis HaMikdash was in existence today, exactly how much value would a machzis shekel be today. And every year, of course, it differs because it fluctuates. It's basically one machzis shekel would basically be somewhere between, I would say, $5 and $20. Practically in that range. Between five. They don't have any half coins? They don't have a chatzis shekel?
I don't know.
I think they have chatzis shekel, yeah, right? What? They have a chatzis shekel. They have a shekel chodosh. The shekel chodosh and a chatzis shekel chodosh. So this is a minhag. So again, there are two minhagei Yisrael. One is done by 95% of the population, the other is done by the other 5%. The majority of Klal Yisrael follows the custom that wherever you live, look at the currency in circulation, take a half coin, give three of those, even if it comes out to peanuts. Okay, so most of us give $1.50. $1.50 is not peanuts for me, but for some people it's peanuts. $1.50 of three of those coins. Me'ikar, I think you only have to give one. Only one, 50 cents. But if you want, the minhag is to give three. There are people that have the custom that know it's not a matter of giving a half a coin of your currency. It's giving the value of how much a machzor shekel was worth in the time, bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. Bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim, a machzor shekel was equal to 10 geira. A geira is a barley seed. We can go now and we can figure out the average size of a barley seed. We can weigh it and we can make figure out the equivalent of how much it'll be worth in silver by going online and looking at the value of silver at any given moment. And when you make this calculation, you will discover that in American dollars, one machzor shekel every year, I don't know what's this year, will be somewhere in between $5 and $20, somewhere in that range. Okay, somewhere in that range, probably close to the $5 range. You want to give three of them? Gesunde hate. So you're getting giving $15, $15, $20 for a machzor shekel, you can give dollar bills. You don't have to give coins. If you're following this approach, it's not a matter of giving a coin that's a machzis. It's a matter of giving the equivalent of value of what was machzor shekel bizman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. Rav Shlomo, I believe that Rabbi Eliashiv, he did that. He did not give half coins, he gave money. He gave actual money, cash, of what it would have been worth. But that is not the minhag. The minhag, no one ever saw that here. I don't think anyone ever saw that over here. The minhag Yisrael, I'm just trying to bring out the point, the minhag Yisrael is to go take whatever the currency is in your country. If you live in a country where they don't have half dollars, whatever it is, so then they say is, well, do they have, like, let's make believe. Let's say, I don't really have in Canada. Canada have half coin, half dollars in Canada? Canada also has dollars. What? Yeah, 50 cent piece. Well, let's say you live in a country where they don't have any halves. So then you just take, is there a denomination of a coin that is half of another coin? Let's say there was no half dollar in America. Make believe there's no half dollar in America, but make believe there was a $2 coin. Making up things. Let's say there was a $2 coin and there's a $1 coin. A $1 coin is not a half. It's a $1 coin. That they have a lot of. Right? They used to force you. Then now they used to force you on the buses to use that. And the machines will give you these dollars, these gold, shiny dollars. They still have them? They probably still have them. Let's say, make believe there was a $2 coin and there's a $1 coin. So you give the $1 coin because the $1 coin happens to be a half of a $2 coin. We don't have that problem in America. In America, we have a half dollar. It's called half. That's the best thing to do. Now, here's something interesting. The truth is, it used to be that you don't even really have to go pay the $1.50. Okay, many shuls, people not as affluent as they are today, the shul would have on the table three half dollars. Okay, today they like to be mahader. They have silver half dollars. So the truth is, when you're giving $1.50, you're not really giving. It's worth a lot more than $1.50. We're all doing this. If you go to a shul, they have on the table $3.50 of real silver, as real silver as it gets. It's all an alloy anyway. So not, how much are those three coins worth? A lot of money. They're not worth $1.50, right? They're not worth $1. They're worth a lot of money. So what are you doing? What are you doing? You're putting $1.50 on the table. I now acquire it. Oh, they're mine. Excuse me, sir. Those are real silver coins. Who gave you permission to put down $1.50 on the table for real silver coins? Put down $50. You'll be covered. I don't know how much they're worth, but real silver half dollars are worth more than 50 cents a piece today. Okay, go online, see what it costs to buy a real silver half dollar. It's a lot more than 50 cents. Funny, right? It's funny. How much? $24.95 for 50 cents. It's funny, right? It says 50 cents and you're paying 20. Something's really wrong with us. If we're paying 50 cents, $25, $25, okay? So what are you doing? So let me make it even better for you. Let's say you put down on the table not silver, regular, whatever they make them from today, okay? And it's really only we have a market value of 50 cents. When you pick up those three half dollars, many shuls don't have, not everyone has silver. A lot of shuls don't have silver. They're regular half dollars. Okay, how much are they worth? No, but a lot of shuls have. They have it in their arsenal. They have the silver coins for Machzor Shekel. Okay, but let's say you don't have. So you have on the table three half dollars. No problem. That's probably many shuls have regular three half dollars. They're not silver. So what does the average person do? They put that on the table, $1.50. $1.50. You take your change, and then you pick it up. Okay, you have to pick it up three tefachim. If you want to pick it over the bima, you have to pick it up three tefachim to acquire it. It's now yours, and then you say the words Zecher Lemachzis HaShekel. The proper thing is to say those three words. Don't forget to say the word Zecher. If you don't say Zecher, you're in trouble, because then something make it say in Yimamish, Yimakadish it for Korbanos, and there are no Korbanos B'zman HaZeh. So the proper thing to do is to take the coin, put down the $1.50, you're buying it, you pick up the three coins, you pick it up three tefachim. Because since you're over the table, in order to do Hagboy, it has to be three tefachim. If you don't want to pick it up three tefachim, if your arm hurts, so this, then just move your hand over the bima. That's also good, because then you're over the ground. So just move your hand away from the bima, even if you don't want to lift it up. It's now yours. It's yours. And then you say, Zecher Lemachzis HaShekel. Those three words, and you put it down. And you were just mekayim the meaning of Zecher Lemachzis HaShekel. Now, let's say you come to shul and you don't have $1.50 on you. All I got, okay, we'll come for that. We'll come for who you do for. I only have on me 25 cents. Or I have nothing on me. I don't have a penny. I forgot my wallet at home. I have nothing on me. What am I to do? So the assumption is, at least this used to be a fact in the olden days, in the old shuls, is that people mamash did not have $1.50. People cannot even afford $1.50. Okay, it wasn't uncommon years ago. People were poor. They don't have money. They just don't have $1.50 to go spend on Machzor Shekel. No problem. We're giving it to you. At the shul, that's what we're here for. A shul is a community. You have a mitzvah to mimekayim the meaning of Machzor Shekel. We got you covered. We got you covered here. They're yours. Take it. For free, gift. You come to the bima. The shul gave it to me as a gift. I could technically walk home with it, put it in my pocket. We trust you that you're going to be, you're going to do it right. You take it, and then you put it down. L'shem machzis zecher l'machzis hashekel. Let's say I'm not a gevir. I don't have $1.50. But I got a quarter. Okay, so we'll give it to you for a quarter. You got a dollar? We'll give it to you for a dollar. You want to pay $1.50? Wow, you're a tzaddik. Wow, you're really a nice guy. We'll take your money. I never saw a shul that said, we have enough. Never. Never ever saw a shul, we have enough money. We don't need your money. Doesn't happen, right? You want to give $1.50? Great. Guess what? We all do this. Because of David, So the truth is, we all do this. Did you see someone come give $75 to Machzor Shekel? Many shuls have on the bima the real deal. The silver half dollars. okay, the silver half dollars, and probably 99.9% of the people who come to in the shul and put down the money on the bima to take the half silver, the three half truma, three half coins of real silver. Why real silver? It's a mishagas. Why? Because since the machzor shekel, the base hamigdash was silver, so we want to give silver. Okay, it's a nice thing. We're trying to reenact zecher lemachzor shekel. But excuse me, sir, each one of those coins costs $24.95 before tax and shipping.
Yes.
At least $75. And with tax and shipping, you know, maybe you should put down, we wouldn't mind $100 on the table for your machzor shekel. You never saw a gabbai tell the people $100 or you're not getting these coins. So in other words, we're doing the same thing. We're doing exactly the same thing. The shul is giving it to you as a gift. They're really giving it to you as a gift. It costs a lot more than $1.50, these coins. The shul is being machnet to you, the machzor shekel, as a gift. Okay, so you don't want to be a cheapskate, so you give $1.50. Today, people are going to give $1.50 to show thank you to the Beis HaKnesses. You gave me the coin, so let me at least pay you for its market value, $1.50. You take it, and then you go and you put it down on the table. Okay, now, what about now? Who do you do it for? Who do you do the machzor shekel for? So you do it for yourself, of course. Do it for your wife. So this is a machlokes between the Sfaradim, he left Rav David, and the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim, the meaning is no, you don't give for your wife. Women are potted. This money goes for the korbanos. Noshim do not need the machzor shekel. The Torah was only for men over the age of 20. It was not for women. In fact, some say that women don't have to daven musaf because of this reason. Because women do not give machzor shekel, they're not included. So they daven. We daven for two reasons: rachamim and uneshal mafadim sefaseinu. But musaf is purely for uneshal mafadim sefaseinu. And women do not participate in the korban sibur. They don't give machzor shekel. So therefore, somehow the women don't even need to daven musaf. Okay, obviously we don't accept the halacha, but the Ashkenazim do not give for the women. The women do not have to give. Now today we live in a global melting pot. Everyone does whatever they want to do. Sfaradim do. The minhag of Sfar, the Sfaradim, is there always been their time-honored minhag from time immemorial, is zecher lemachzis hashekel, is women are also, they have to give three coins. And also now, the lemach mina for your children. Now, you only have to give, technically, 20 years and up. You only have to give. The minhag is the bar mitzvah, but he also has to give $1, also has to do it. And then the minhag is that a father gives for his banim kitanim, the males. Ashkenazim never give for females, but for males, Sfaradim even give for their little girls. Every child, the father has to give for his wife, and the adults who do it themselves. You do for your wife, and for your small children, even females. What happens if your wife is pregnant? If your wife is pregnant, so if it's your Sfaradi, it doesn't matter if it's a boy or a girl. Boy or a girl, you got to give. You give, no matter what, if you're an Ashkenazi, 50-50. Unless you have a sonogram, you know if it's a boy or a girl. You call up the OBGYN before you come to shul. My wife, I know she doesn't want to know. I know she didn't want to know, but I'm here in shul now. I have to know if I have to give. Can you tell me now if my wife has a boy and a girl in there? Sorry, patient doctor confidentiality. I'm sorry, I can't tell you. If your wife doesn't want you to know, I can't. I'm not allowed to release that information.
You have to say zocha zecha.
So therefore, you have to go. You be machmir. It's hamoitze mechaver olav haroya. So you don't have to give for the fetus inside. If you're a Sfaradi, you have no choice. Ashkenazi, it's 50-50, then you don't have to give. But once the baby is born, you give for even for a fetus. Okay, so you give. So therefore, get out. So that is the basic minhag. We give it an erev, and we give the machzor shekel an erev Purim. The minhag is erev Purim, but after mincha or before mincha? Meikar hadin. People give it before mincha, but I think the ikar and minhag is good after. I'm not mistaken. The ikar is man. It's on the table for mincha. You can do it today also. No one's stopping you. You can do today also. The minhag. It seems like the minhag is to give it. The real minhag is after mincha, not before mincha. After mincha, people give before they come to shul. They put it before mincha. Or it's the same thing. Whatever. I'm assuming it's not an ikuf. But the mincha is to do after mincha. And if you don't do it on Purim, you can do it on Purim. You can do it the whole chodesh. Where does the money go? Where does the money go? Who gets to keep the money? And so hakpado. Now the money, you're doing it zecher. If you're doing it zecher, as a zecher for machzis hashekel. So where did it go in the Beis Hamikdash for the korbanos? And today, what are the korbanos? What are the korbanos today? The korbanos today are the shul, the tefila. So there are many who hold that the money must go for the upkeep of the Beis HaKnesses. This is not money to be used for Tamche Shabbos. Tamche Shabbos is a very wonderful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful mitzvah, but that's not a zecher. That's not a zecher for Machzah Shekel. The Machzah Shekel went for the korbanos. And the leftover money went for the Berek HaBayis. So here, the money, today, the Berek HaBayis, the Beis HaKnesses, the upkeep of the Beis HaKnesses, to pay the electricity bills, and the Korbanos, the Tzvila, it should go for in Yonei Tzibur for the Beis HaKnesses. That's the primary place the money should go. Okay, then there are other discussions. Some say, no, it should go for Aniyim. If you're not going to go to the Beis HaKnesses, is loaded to the hilt, all expenses paid. So then, don't just use the money to write a new Sefer Torah. The money should go to poor people, aniyim, especially aniyei Eretz Yisrael, or talmidei chachamim, things that are why dafka poor people. I'm not. I don't remember exactly what, but it says of it should go for poor people. Be hakpad, not to take the money and use it for other things. It should be for the shul, that's lechayv the ikar, and then to aniyim, aniyei irich hakoydem, talmidei chacham have precedent of kedima, and then other poor people. Okay, so that is the machzis hashekel. Okay, what else I wanted to say? One question: can you be mekayim the mitzvah of matonos lo evyonim with the machzis hashekel? So we discussed this. Let's say a person doesn't have, he doesn't have money. So he wants to knock off two birds with one stone. The money that I put that on the table, Erev Purim, for the machzis hashekel should also be matonos lo evyonim. Can the gabbai take the money that he receives? So this is like everything else. L'chatchila no, b'di'eved yes. For two reasons, b'di'eved yes. First of all, mi'ikar hadin zecher l'machzis hashekel only requires one coin. You're giving three. So the other two are really over the top. So that you can certainly be meikel. But even the one coin, it's only a minuk. It's only a zecher. It's not an ikar hadin. Giving matonos le'evyonim is an ikar hadin. So it's all part of Purim. It's all put together, packaged together. So therefore, b'di'eved, the Pesukim said that b'di'eved, you can give machzis hashekel for the machzis can also come for matonos le'evyonim. Okay, one thing I left out by Vincha, we say Birchas Kohanim, we say Elokeinu, Elokei Avoseinu, okay, that not to forget, and we say Aneinu, Mincha, of a person by mistake he eats, going back to Tainus Sestan, a person by mistake he puts food in his mouth. He puts food in his mouth. So what do? Just stop, spit it out. You made a bracha. If you made a bracha and you did not yet put the food in your mouth, are you allowed to put the food in your mouth? No. You're not. It's a bracha levatala. You say Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchus. So there's nothing you can do. A person Baruch Atah Hashem Kivoy Malchus Shakol Niyeh Bidvaray. Someone screams, "Oh, Tainus! What are you doing?" But I said Hashem's name already. Are you allowed to put food? Are you allowed to put the food because you made the bracha? No, you're not. It's too bad. The halacha is Tainus. You don't eat. You made a bracha. That's your problem. It's a bracha levatala. You say Baruch Shem Kvar Malchusol Yolam Vayda Mu'uvah Sheni Yachol Liskon. Person already ate. So of course, once you already ate, you make a bracha achareina, because that's nothing wrong. You already ate. You make bracha achareina. But when this moment you realize that you're not supposed to be eating, you have to spit out the food immediately and not take another bite, and the rest of the day you have to fast. Just because you blew it doesn't mean you have a license to eat the rest of the day. So you made a mistake, so you ate. So it happened, so stop eating. And the rest of the day, you resume the fast. And you do not need to make it up the following day. Okay, you want to brush your teeth and rinse your mouth? L'chatchila, no. B'di'eved, yes. Okay, those are Dvarim Pshutim.
That's one of the things Shari Sion says you could rinse him out.
It can be Mekel, okay, but even that, okay, L'chatchilo no, B'dieved, if a person needs to do it, he can do it. On the tightness of a person, you should get a haircut. Can you go for a haircut on tightness Esther? Can you go enjoy yourself off from work tightness Esther? I was waiting to go watch this documentary. Something very enjoyable. Wanted to read a novel. Oh, I'm waiting for that day I can lie down on my armchair and read this novel. You're not supposed to. A day of tightness is not a day when you should engage in activity that brings you pleasure. Unbelievable. It's not a day. L'chatchila, it's not the proper thing to take a haircut on tainus esther. However, if you need to, you can. There's no isser in getting ready for Purim. Getting ready for Purim by getting a haircut, taking a shower, getting dressed. The B'nai Torah, one thing I liked about Chaim Berlin, the only thing. But one thing that I definitely had a very degree of appreciation Chaim when they taught us is that Purim is a day of costumes, that's right. It's a minhag, time-honored minhag to wear a costume on Purim. But the minhag is children wear the costumes, mm-hmm. not the adults. And the adults are to wear big day Shabbos. And that's how they trained us, and I came to appreciate that when I left Chaim Berlin and I went to other places where the adults wore the costumes. And I then first had a deep appreciation, that's right, costumes is something that is beautiful, very appropriate for children. And a child ends, I guess, when they're 12 years old. But adults, not to come, you know, it also bothers me very much. I used to go to certain places where people come, they come from work, they work very hard, Amcha Yisrael Chivanasa, and they come in their jeans, and in their, you know, Shabbos, they come, you know, in a suit, they come in Mechubat, and Purim, they come in their jeans, and they come in leather jackets, and they come.
Rabbi Sher, I was there Mincha 3 years ago, and everybody was dressed in Disney costumes, and it was Dominic Mincha. He chuckled, and then looking like that.
I know. You go. There are a lot of funny videos online. Okay, listen. It's a matter of Minhag Yisrael. There's no question about it. By Hasidim, there is something to adults should wear costumes. But you have to understand something. The costumes that when the Chazal talk about wearing a costume on Purim, there was a certain dignity in wearing the costume, okay? We're not talking about running like a Meshuggah, dressed up like Superman, having a 50-year-old wear some, I don't know, he looks like he came out of some science fiction movie.
About one item, like a funny hat or Obviously,
it's everything in balance, obviously. But I've come to appreciate that by certain groups of B'nai Torah, they're trained, Purim is a Yom Tov. And on Yom Tov, you come dressed in big day Shabbos. You come clean shaven, and you come in your big day Shabbos. And to do this, you have to make achonis on Tainus Esther. You have to take a shower. You have to take a shave. Sometimes you need to take a haircut. You're allowed to. L'chatchila, the reason why you're taking a haircut, you're taking a shave, taking a shower, you're doing these things, it's all in hachana for Purim, it's 100% permitted. But a person is planning to come tonight in jeans and leather jacket and wearing a cap and dressed up the way, no different than the way you dressed the entire week. Today is a convenient day to take a haircut because I'm off now. I came home early today, so I might as well go for a haircut. If the reason why you're taking a haircut is not because you're really preparing for Purim, just because it's just a convenient day, then he writes over here is that's not the proper thing to do because it is a tightness, and a tightness is not just the food, it is the frame of mind. Okay, we're going to stop. We have 10 minutes. I have over here, I just want to run through very quickly, whatever more we can do in these last 10 minutes. So here I have the two handouts. Now, get out.
New page?
No. Here is 37.
By the way, the only place it says covered in the whole safe operation is when it says by Shabbat, but the Kol Beis Ovid. The only place it's used the word covered in the whole safe operation is when it says by Shabbat, but the Kol Beis Ovid.
Quick question.
No. By Shem.
There it is covered?
Shem, Gehunichbod, we call Beis Ovid. They want to give, everybody agrees to have Bris Milah.
Do I have any more 37?
Yesterday,
38.
Almost yesterday it was an expression, Malchus HaRishoa.
Yeah.
I've only seen that.
By Rome.
Yeah, so when was it written?
What?
The Kashrut, you said the Kashrut is a
version. Maybe it's a different version?
Who is the 38?
He didn't realize that.
The version of Rashad could be.
Well, mine was 37.
This is the Hebrew translation of the Aramaic.
Right.
So you have to look in the real Aramaic. According to the Aramaic, it's the 38.
I know. I have
the
Tanoim.
You got 38.
Okay.
It was really God, Thomas Tanoim.
Possibly during the Roman.
Okay, it's okay.
Okay, you don't have it, it's okay, you don't need it. There's a few more interesting things we have over here, 8 minutes and counting.